Ladies and gentlemen, you are tuned into Full Frontal on CHRW Radio 94.9 FM. I'm your host, August Donnelly, and with me, as per usual, is the one and only Full Frontal co-host and intern, Barb. Barb, how are you this evening?
I'm pretty good. I was enjoying a glass of homemade wine a little earlier that my friend made me, and feeling pretty good.
Fantastic. That is a good way to feel pretty good. Folks, I have a bit of an announcement to make regarding this broadcast, and for that matter, subsequent broadcasts. Going forward, unfortunately, Barb will no longer be joining us on a regular basis, as she will be pursuing other endeavors. However, we just might have her back on the show now and again for the sake of nostalgia. So with that, Barb, myself, and I'm certain the listeners wish you all of the best, and thank you very much for your input and your insight to date.
Well, thank you, August, and thank you to the listeners for making this a very pleasurable experience for me.
No problem at all, Barb. I'm glad you could be here, and like I said, when you're available, just drop on by anytime. Just shoot old August an email, say, hey, you know what? I'm coming on the show, and I'll say, okay. Unless, of course, somebody cooler and younger and better looking has replaced you by then.
Impossible.
Exactly. You know what, though, Barb? Let me just say this, and I do mean this from the bottom of my heart. Don't go away mad. Just go away.
August, the only thing that I'm mad about are the countless hours that I've wasted pretending to laugh at your jokes.
Those are a few you'd like to have back, I'm sure. Lo, the time you'll never have back. Folks, speaking of time we'll never have back, it's time to do what we do every year right here on Full Frontal. We're going to do the year in review for 2008. Now that we're into January of 2009, this is something I would normally do before the new year, but given the way crazy scheduling worked out and given the way the holiday and the new year fell, what days of the week, etc., etc., wasn't able to do it before the new year, so now that we're into 2009, everybody's settled, we're all bankrupt and desperate after the holiday season, it's time to talk about the year that was 2008. Let's put her under the microscope, shall we, Barb? First and foremost, this is 2009 news, so I'm kind of going back on what I just said. Barack Obama's inauguration last week, fantastic, was it not?
Very exciting. And I think each generation has something, some big, you know, momentous occasion that, and I think that this is certainly going to be one for us and for future generations to come. Very, very exciting stuff.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. I think that's obviously on a much more positive note. It's up there with the, you know, the attack of September 11th, 2001, the huge blackout in August of 2003. Obviously, this is, you know, the, you know, most happy and positive and beneficial event. But, you know, it's one of those things you'll always remember where you were, I think, when that event happened.
And once you go Barack, you never go back.
This is true. Hey, speaking of Barack, you know how Saturday Night Live has been parodying the excitement and the fervor in the media around Barack Obama, and they had people doing the Barack attack?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think old Ted Kennedy had a Barack attack. Poor guy. He has a, you know, has a malignant brain tumor removed, you know, what, last year, 2008. And they say due to exhaustion and excitement, I guess a combination of the two, he collapsed right after the inauguration ceremony and had a seizure. He had a Barack attack. Old Ted Kennedy, he had a serious Barack attack. Poor Ted Kennedy. Good senator, but a bad date. Yeah. So let's go back. Let's take it back a year, folks. Let's go back, start off with January 2008. Let's talk about the year that was. The very first business day of the year of 2008, January the 2nd, what a way to ring in the new year, the price of crude oil hit $100 per barrel for the very first time. So it wasn't the first time we saw high gas prices, but we were once again reminded that it's perfectly fine, as far as the government of Canada and the government of the United States is concerned, to charge, you know, $1.25 a liter, you know, $1.35 a liter, over $5 per gallon. It definitely makes you consider buying a smaller car. I've learned my my lesson as far as it goes with the high horsepower luxury sedans. I think it's time to take a page from Barb's book and look into like a Toyota or like a Yaris or what a Honda Fit, something like that.
And maybe it's time to trade in that Mustang for a Bustang.
Yeah, the Bustang. The Bustang is the mean ride right now. It's a mean ride about town, let me tell you. You can be the man about town on the Bustang because you can bring yourself and 39 girlfriends.
And, you know, if the economy keeps going the way it is, we'll be asking Exhibit to pimp our bus passes.
Exactly. That's totally it. And a few weeks later, on the 21st of January, stock markets around the world plunged amid growing fears of the U.S. recession, fueled by the 2007 subprime mortgage crisis, which President Obama is now feeling the heat from with his first couple of days in office under his belt. That's going to be the biggest hurdle I think he's going to face. What do you think, Barb?
Oh, definitely. I mean, there's a lot of a lot of hope for what he's going to do, but he certainly hasn't been handed an easy deal. So
no, that's for sure. And I mean, the disadvantageous position of being, you know, the first African-American president, having the tremendously high expectations that have already been placed on him, I think, you know, just because of that, you know, I hate to say that in 2009, but, you know, being the first black president, it's definitely going to be, you know, he's definitely going to be under the microscope, I think, to a great degree, because people will, you know, say like, oh, let's see, oh, you know what, he messed up, we shouldn't have elected a black man or a woman for that matter, or, you know, it's unfortunate, but it's the way the world works, you know, in a lot of ways. Going to the month of February, February the 19th, on the political stage again, Fidel Castro announced his resignation as the president of Cuba, effective the 24th of February. And on that day, the 24th of February, his younger brother Raul Castro was unanimously elected as the president of Cuba by the National Assembly. Not like that was any great surprise.
No, definitely not.
Definitely not. And Fidel, the consummate communist, and as you mentioned earlier, Barb, sported a mean beard.
He definitely has a great beard, and I think that facial hair is starting to catch on again.
He's definitely a prime candidate for the Just for Men commercial. Get Emmett Smith off there and get Keith Hernandez to ask Fidel Castro why his stash is trash and his beard is weird.
And in fact, I think that he's repopularized facial hair so much that even women are sporting beards today, as I
found. Really?
While I was at a donut shop, the woman serving me had some very nice facial hair. You know, it was,
ew.
It was noon, but she had a 5 o'clock shadow.
Did she have a hairnet over it?
No.
Moving into the month of March. Now, this is kind of cool. 2008 was a big year for events of the astronomical persuasion. It was kind of cool when I went through the information I was reviewing and getting ready for tonight's show. It's kind of cool. There was all kinds of stuff in 2008 pertaining to NASA and the different countries' space administrations, but on the 19th of March, an exploding star, so a supernova, halfway across the visible universe became the farthest known object ever visible to the naked eye. So, you know, the visible universe, of course, being what we can see with the telescopes and everything else, but this exploding star halfway across the visible universe became the most remote object we could see from Earth. Pretty cool, huh?
Out of this world.
Oh, Barb, you're so cheesy. I'm going to miss your cheese. On the 25th of March, just not quite a week later, and, you know, pertaining to the cosmos again, a little closer to home, though, a 414 square kilometer, that's 160 square mile chunk of the Antarctic Wilkins ice shelf disintegrated, fell into the ocean, and left the entire shelf at risk of, you know, continuing to deteriorate. So that's the stuff that, you know, David Suzuki and Al Gore and other environmentalists / fearmongers have been warning us about. But, you know, at the same time, it's fearmongering to an extent, but it's also very accurate and truthful to an extent to be concerned about these matters, because not only is New Orleans sinking, like the Tragically Hip told us many, many years ago, so is Holland. And as you're smoking your hash in Holland, you might want to have a surfboard, you know, 5 years' time from now.
Yeah, but in August, you know what I think?
What's that?
Surf's up.
Surf's up. Surf's up, eh? Just go. Just let her go. Huh?
Let's go with the flow.
Just go with the flow, yeah. Yeah, it's not going to be so funny when the dikes break in Holland, and I'm not talking about the open-minded lesbians. April the 22nd, surgeons at London, England's Moorfields Eye Hospital performed the first ever operations using bionic eyes, implanting them into two blind patients. How cool is that? Now, these are people who were born without the gift of sight, and from what I understand from the reading I did, the bionic eye works very similar to the bionic ear, the cochlear implant. It is an external device that kind of sits inside or protrudes from the eye socket and attaches through the back of the eye socket into the retina and the optic nerve and translates, using like a camera-like mechanism, shadows and colors and depth perception to form like a rudimentary image or a crude image, kind of the way that, you know, the cochlear implant takes sound and vibration and does the same thing with sound.
That's all very fascinating, but as you're speaking about the science of this, all I can think about is this kid that I went to elementary school with, who had a glass eye and used to take it out and chase me around the playground with it. Did I mention that he also used to put it in his mouth?
He would take the glass eye out of his eye socket and put it into his mouth?
Yes, so that it looked like he had an eye in his mouth.
Ew. Oh, that's awful. But at the same time, Barbie, thankful that that was the situation, because as you probably know, there are little boys who take out other things and chase girls around the playground.
Were you one of those little boys?
But that's neither here nor there. But what are we talking about again?
What's next on the list?
Yeah. Anyway, going into the end of April, India set a world record by sending 10 satellites into orbit in a single launch. So, India, we here at Full Frontal offer our congratulations for launching a multi-billion dollar effort while maintaining the world's second largest population in a state of starvation and third world economy. Congratulations, India. That's fantastic. Moving into May, over 69,000 people were killed when the Chengdu quake, measuring a magnitude of 8.0 on the Richter scale, struck southwest China with an epicenter alone of 55 miles, about 90 kilometers across. We're talking, I mean, massive, massive quake. 8.0 is huge. And from what I learned, the Richter scale, a 5.0 is 10 times stronger than a 4.0, a 6.0 is 10 times stronger than a 5.0, and so on up the scale to 10, which has never been recorded, apparently. But this is a massive, massive quake, an 8.0, and imagine that, 69,000 people. That's like the population of Chatham, Ontario, just, you know, blipping off the face of the map.
I can't even imagine what an earthquake would like that would feel like.
Well, they say, again, according to the research I did and you know, reliable sources online and in books, a magnitude 4.0 quake creates the same level of devastation as a small atomic bomb to the outlying and surrounding areas. Now, imagine something that's 10 times stronger than that, which is 10 times stronger than that, which is 10 times stronger than that, which is 10 times stronger than that. So, I mean, an 8.0 quake, again, is massive, ladies and gentlemen. 69,000 people killed like that. Imagine if that quake had have hit Shanghai or Beijing, cities with, you know, tens of millions of people. It would have been, you know, cataclysmic, literally. Moving into the end of May, again, with the astronomical events, NASA's Phoenix spacecraft became the first to land on the northern polar region of Mars. Which is pretty cool. So now we've landed a spacecraft on the polar region of Mars, or one of the polar regions of Mars. So that's a pretty huge accomplishment. It's neat that we had the Mars rover there a few years ago, and now we've got a man-made spacecraft, you know, landing down there and you know, taking samples and photographs and everything else. And I'll mention something else that occurred in 2008 a little bit later that pertains to that. So it's kind of cool, though, huh?
I wonder when the average person will be able to just take a vacation into space. And I'm not talking like Lance Bass, but like, you know, the normal average.
Isn't he the guy from, was it the NSYNC or whatever?
Yeah, one of those boy bands. And he paid a whole crap load of money to fly to the moon or something like that.
Given everything about that guy in the media in the last couple of years, there's nothing, you know, normal about that guy. Anyway, moving into the month of June, June the 11th, Canadian Prime Minister Stephen Harper apologized to Canada's First Nations for the Canadian residential school system. Now, that's all well and good, but, you know, being decades after the fact, it's a little bit like when John Paul II apologized in 1992, exactly 350 years after the fact, for the persecution, house arrest, and wrongful treatment of Galileo Galilei. 3.5 centuries later, wait, no, Galileo was right. The Earth does revolve around the sun, and we shouldn't have shunned him for the last 50 years of his life. Oops.
It is a big oops, but better late than never.
No, actually, you know what? No, I disagree with that. It's just better not done in the first place. June the 27th, after 3 decades as the chairman of Microsoft Corporation, Bill Gates, once the world's wealthiest man, stepped down from his daily duties to concentrate on philanthropy. Could you imagine if that was your career? Giving away money? You're so wealthy that what do you do 9 to 5 every day? Oh, I just give away money and, you know, when I'm feeling saucy, I finance revolutions.
Well, I hope he tucked a little nest egg away for himself, too.
Well, we wouldn't want Bill to starve. Now, come on. Yeah, but yeah, after 3 decades as the chairman of Microsoft, old Bill Gates, while Bill has stepped down. Moving into July, from the 7th to the 9th, the G8 summit was held in Japan. Now, take a wild guess, Barb. How many years have you been doing the old G8 for? What G8 was this? Was it the 50th, the 60th, the 20th?
17th.
Well, Barb, if you doubled your number, you'd be bang on. It was actually the 34th G8 summit that was held in Tokyo, Japan last year from July 7th to the 9th. Moving along, towards the end of July, Rambaran Yadav, if I pronounced that correctly, Rambaran Yadav was sworn in as the first president of Nepal, which was pretty cool. And that was subsequent to what happened at the end of May. The Federal Democratic Republic of Nepal was established after the assembly voted overwhelmingly in favor of abolishing the country's 240-year-old monarchy. Rambaran Yadav is now the first and current president of Nepal. Neat, huh? Talk about the Tibetan Freedom Festival and everything else. That's Nepal. Just so you know, Barb.
And you're the king of the castle.
Yes. Jeez. You said you stopped drinking before the show, right?
Sure.
Yeah. Jeez. Never get a straight answer from you. Going into August, the greatest month of the year for obvious reasons, from the 8th to the 24th were the 2008 Summer Olympics in Beijing, China. And, of course, that was a huge event. A lot of people wearing masks. Not just ugly people, like most Olympic Games, but people trying not to die from smog inhalation. And on August the 17th, happy birthday, Mom, first of all. The belated, but I'm saying it for this year too, really, really early and ahead of time. Michael Phelps surpassed Mark Spitz in gold medals won at a single Olympic Games, having won 8. Mark Spitz won 7 in swimming back in the day for the U.S., and Michael Phelps won 8 gold medals. So Michael Phelps, despite being arguably the most homely individual in the public eye, is one of the most talented.
And he's a human dolphin.
Yeah. I mean, hey, thank God he's got talent because he's not going to get by on his looks. Seriously, have you seen that guy? Is he homely or what?
Yeah. But, you know, the 8 gold medals is certainly helping him in the ladies department.
I'm sure it is. The latter part of the month, August the 28th, and then running into the beginning of September, Hurricane Hanna caused 7 deaths in the United States, which is, you know, quite a bit for the developed world, but 529 deaths in Haiti, mostly due to flooding and mudslides. But seriously, 529 people killed in Haiti by Hurricane Hanna. Huge. And I'm just kind of giving a shout out to my Haitian peoples because of, you know, guests we've had on the show, Dr. Wade Davis, the great Canadian anthropologist and Harvard ethnobotanist who spent a lot of his career down in Haiti, and that was, you know, doing some of his seminal work. But yeah, 529 people in Haiti. Crazy, crazy, craziness for a country that's already so impoverished and living through hard knocks as it is. The first week of September, September the 6th, this is one that I think it's really morbid to laugh at, but I'm going to anyway. I don't quite understand how this happens. September the 6th, at least 8 boulders, sources say, dislodged from a cliff near Cairo, Egypt. So we're talking the capital of Egypt, you know, land of the pyramids. 8 boulders dislodged from a cliff, killing at least 18 people. Okay, so like, did they count 18 and figured there was more but just left them? And buried an estimated 500 people. So it killed 18 but buried exponentially more? I don't quite understand that. Here's where I'm a little hazy. What were 518 people or more doing standing by a random cliff where 8 boulders were about to dislodge? Like, is that what people do in, you know, Eastern Africa? They just stand around beside cliffs and wait for shit to fall on them?
I have no idea. That's a crazy story. I don't even remember that story happening.
I don't know. It just seems like the strangest thing in the world. I don't know. I don't get it.
You know what's even more strange?
I didn't get the memo until now.
You know what's even more strange?
What's that
about Egypt?
What's that?
Did you know that right across the street from the pyramids, there's a Kentucky Fried Chicken?
I heard that. And I believe it was either you or a friend of yours that told me that. Somebody who went to Egypt, wasn't it?
Yeah, somebody, a friend of mine had gone to Egypt and, yeah, told me that basically right across the street, there's a KFC.
Book your trips now, folks. Expedia.ca.
Make sure that you're at the pyramids on a Tuesday so you can take advantage of that Toonie Tuesday.
Yeah, exactly. Although they don't think they use Toonies over there. It'd be, sand dollars or something. Like the stupidest joke ever. We accept sand dollars. Just go to the nearest ocean several thousand miles away and pick up a few. Wow. September the 30th, at the end of the month, a stampede in western India killed 228 people and injured 400 at a temple in the Jodhpur region. I don't know what it is with people stampeding each other and killing each other in the Middle East or in India, but have you noticed, though, that when things happen, dramatic events, like when a bus crashes here, it kills 20 people, but when it happens in India, it kills 6,000? Have you ever noticed that? Is it because people are really that densely packed in India?
It's crowded.
Well, but seriously, I mean, you know, a stampede in India kills or injures 700 people. Here, Americans go nuts on Black Friday and, you know, they might shoot each other for a pair of Nikes at Target. But I mean, you know, somebody pulls out a gun in the States, 5 people are dead. In India, they pull it out, 6 million people died in India today. What is it? Is it the crowding? Is that what it is?
Must be the crowding.
Must be the crowding. Weird. First week of October, the end of the first week. The meteoroid, which I guess is like a meteorite, 2008 TC, impacted Earth, becoming the first such object to be discovered prior to impact. Another little piece of astronomical info for you there. A little bit like Deep Impact, but apparently it wasn't too cataclysmic because we're all here and most people didn't even know about that, I imagine, until now.
But there is a black president.
Yes, just like Morgan Freeman in the movie, huh? Barb with her pop culture references. Kudos to Barb. The end of October, big in the business world, Delta Airlines merged with Northwest Airlines, forming the world's largest commercial carrier. So that's something you can remember from last year. And in the first week of November, of course, arguably the biggest event of the year, on November the 4th, the United States presidential election, Barack Obama was elected the 44th president of the United States and Joe Biden the 47th vice president. And obviously Obama became the first African-American president. Pretty cool. The 20th of November, the 2008 Prairie meteorite passed over Western Canada. If you recall seeing that in the news, the streak of light shot across Saskatchewan and Alberta and lit up the sky for a few seconds. That was pretty cool.
Oh, yeah, and all the people were scrounging through the fields trying to find a piece of it.
I don't know why people do that. Can you imagine in the remote, you know, area of like northern Alberta where it's literally thousands of square miles? Yep, I'm going to drink me some blue light. I'm going to go out and look for that meteor. I'm betting if and I can find it, I'm going to get some real good money for that one.
There's a reward for it.
I imagine there was, and again, that's why every moron and their uncle were out looking for it. Anyway, November 22nd, frozen water. This is cool.
Known as ice.
Exactly. Frozen water, also known as ice. That's not what's cool, but relating to something I mentioned earlier in the show, was found on Mars. So ladies and gentlemen, they searched all these years, and for those of you that aren't keeping up to date at the NASA website or whatever, they've actually done it. They have found frozen water on Mars, ice. They have actually found real ice, real water on Mars. Pretty cool.
So what does that mean? There could be life there?
There could be, or there was, or there will be. Exactly. Moving into December, the remains found in 1991 of Tsar Nicholas II were actually finally confirmed and identified as being his using DNA analysis. So he was the last Tsar of Russia. Tsar Nicholas, the one who was with Rasputin, they were executed, etc., etc. Yep, so the remains they found in 1991 that were believed to be his were confirmed beyond a shadow of a doubt using DNA analysis.
Speaking of DNA analysis, have you heard of these like at-home DNA test kits where you spit it onto a stick or something and you mail it back and then they send you your results and it tells you like everything there is to know about your genes and what you're prone to get? And
yeah, I think that's probably accurate and truthful to an extent, but I also believe that much like the microwave oven, anything that makes heat without fire is the devil. So I don't buy into that. December 10th, going towards the end of the year now, the Channel Island of Sark, which is in the Channel Islands of the United Kingdom, a British crown dependency, held its first fully democratic elections under a new constitutional arrangement and became the last European territory to abolish feudalism. So it took until December the 10th of 2008 for the Channel Island of Sark, so we're talking like Jersey and Guernsey and all the Channel Islands, Sark, which is on the British side of the water. Yeah, they were the last European territory to abolish feudalism. So just 150 years behind slavery, they're still working on feudalism over in the UK. That's kind of amazing. I had no idea. No idea that was the case. Weird, huh?
I'm a princess.
What was that? Barb so hasn't stopped drinking. She's got a Tim Hortons cup, but I swear to God, it's got booze in it. I don't know. Anyway, folks, that's just a few tidbits and trips down memory lane from the year of 2008. But the year 2008 wouldn't quite be complete without giving a quick shout out and paying homage to the great minds and thinkers and entertainers that we lost in the year of 2008. So here's a quick rundown of a few names, obviously not all. I'm sure I've forgotten many names and events, but a few that stuck out to me anyway, and perhaps to some of you. In the month of January, we lost Sir Edmund Hillary, the famous New Zealand mountaineer and the first person to conquer Mount Everest. A few days later, Brad Renfro, the American actor, Bobby Fischer, the American chess grandmaster, And towards the end of January, of course, the star of The Dark Knight, the Joker himself, Heath Ledger, passed away in 2008. In February, Roy Scheider, who was the star of the original Jaws in 1975, a world-renowned American actor, passed away in February. March, Jeff Healey, the tremendously talented blind guitarist from Canada. Arthur C. Clarke died shortly after Jeff Healey. He was the man who wrote the original 2001 A Space Odyssey. Moving into April, Charlton Heston, the great actor and president of the NRA for many, many years. June, Bo Diddley, the famous rhythm and blues guitarist. Tim Russert, the American journalist. And one of the great minds, and probably the greatest mind to depart the world in 2008 in the world of entertainment, George Carlin, the great comedian, author, and actor. George Carlin passed away on June the 22nd. Moving into August, the legendary Russian writer Alexander Solzhenitsyn passed away. Great American comedian Bernie Mac and great American musician Isaac Hayes, they all died in the month of August. In September, Richard Wright, one of the great minds of Pink Floyd, passed away. September the 26th, Paul Newman, one of the greatest actors who's ever graced the silver screen, passed away. In November, Michael Crichton, who wrote such books as Jurassic Park, Sphere, and The Andromeda Strain, he passed away. And on November the 12th, Mitch Mitchell, the original drummer from the Jimi Hendrix Experience, legendary English drummer Mitch Mitchell, passed away in the month of November. And in December was Betty Page, the famous American pinup model. Betty Page was 85 years old. Betty Page, God rest her soul, God rest all the other souls that we mentioned. They are tremendous individuals who gave their life and their love and their talents to the world, and the world will be forever and irreparably changed without them. Barb, folks, that's the year 2008. That's pretty much all I've got to say about it. That's a little trip down memory lane, even though it wasn't all that long ago. Barb, any final thoughts about the year 2008?
It was a nice year to have spent it with you, August.
Oh, well, thank you very much. That's very kind of you. And folks, on that note, we're all out of time here for another edition of Full Frontal on CHRW 94.9 FM radio. If you're not into kicking it old school, you can check us out on channel 943 with Rogers Digital Cable every other Monday at 6:30 a.m. and again at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Until next time, if you have any questions for myself or for a guest, past or present, we've got some big ones coming up in the new year. We've got a lot of famous athletes, actors, actresses, the whole deal. Email me at august@chrwradio.com or check me out online at www.augustdonnelly.com. Remember to tune in every other Monday. You just might learn something.
I don't care if it rains.